This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth and development, and occasionally we'll talk a little pie. I think it's because it's two middle-aged men sitting around at dinner time, and we're not home eating dinner, so we end up talking about food. I'm not quite sure why, but I always get lots of emails and phone calls from people saying, "Oh, man, I love when you talk about food." I guess we're getting a lot of people on the way home, and they're hungry. I don't know.
Good. But, you know, I could talk about pie on a morning radio show, too.
Yeah, this is true.
I'll eat pie for breakfast.
Of course.
Apple pie in the morning? I mean, it's...
I have to tell you, let's talk about Thanksgiving first, and I'm going to start. We went down to Waynesville, North Carolina. Absolutely beautiful place. For folks who've never been there and you're looking for a place to vacation, it is an amazing place. It's west of Asheville. West of about 40 miles west of Asheville, North Carolina. If you thought Asheville was beautiful, oh my gosh. Waynesville is this little town up in the mountains.
It's off I-40.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
It's an old paper town.
You pick up 19.
Paper mill.
Yep.
Can you still smell the
paper
mill? The paper
mill, there's a paper mill in, I think it's in Cortland. Is that Cortland?
There's one right off the highway.
Yeah. And that's a town over.
Is it?
Yeah. That's a town over from Waynesville. There's East Waynesville, and then you get, I think it's to Cortland where the paper mill still is, which you can smell, which I actually love that smell. I know it's a gross smell, but it reminds me of South Georgia, where my sister lives and where my mom lived for a while down near Brunswick, St. Simon's Island, where my sister's family is. And they got tons of paper mills down there. And it sort of it's the smell of the South, put it that way. We go down to Waynesville, and I have to tell you, the highlight of the trip for me was the 2 hours I spent sitting at the kitchen table with Allison's 92-year-old grandmother. They asked me to sit down and record a little bit of her oral history, which none of them have ever done, which I find a little shocking. And there's a lesson there for every family. And I would just implore people, because they all told me, she's not really interested. Or we haven't done it because, well, we just don't think that she'd really want to do that or she wouldn't be interested. Brian, I turned on that recorder and she went. She loved it. She loved it. And she told me like twice during we were talking, she said, "Coy, you know, none of my grandkids have ever recorded me. They've never asked me these questions. This is great." I mean, she had a ball. So there's a lesson out there for every family. To just spend some time with the older folks in your family. Get their stories before they go. Just turn on a darn tape recorder, anything you got. It's worth it. It's
good
worth
advice.
It.
And you think about how easy it is for the technology generation today to capture, whether it's audio, video, name it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot easier than it used to be.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah. And so her stories were amazing. Just incredible stuff. Her grandfather was a Scotch-Irish, came over from Scotland and settled in far southwestern Virginia. She talked about how her mom and dad eloped in a snowstorm on a horse and amazing stories, beautiful stories. But I have to tell you, the pie was an afterthought, Brian. There was no pie until I brought it up. Can you believe that?
You asked her about pie.
No, I'm like fast-forwarding here.
Oh, you're...
We're on Thanksgiving Day. There's no pie. There's a lot of people... There were a lot of treats and cookies and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
So they threw together a pumpkin pie at the last minute because Coy asked about it. And it was the underbelly of the pumpkin pie, like the bottom crust, wasn't really cooked.
Right.
They had to put it back in the oven.
Bad pie experience.
Yeah. So when we got home, I went to Mrs. Rouse in Stanton.
Good for you.
I picked up an apple and a blueberry. I let the kids each pick out one. And my daughter wanted apple. My son wanted blueberry. That blueberry pie from Mrs. Rouse is amazing.
That's a good one.
I'm telling you. You cut that open and the blueberries just like sort of burst out. It's incredible. All right. Now tell us. You went Southside, right?
We had Thanksgiving dinner here in Charlottesville. And then the next day, Friday, we drove down to Danville to the Milam family farm.
Okay.
My wife's family farm.
Before we get Southside, the dinner here was good? Relatives were in town?
Yep. Gene's sister and her family were in town. We had, three dogs and two cats in the house. and we did a Wii Olympics, Wii game, the video game.
Yeah, I think we might have one under our Christmas tree.
We put the whole family
into an
Olympics game.
We're getting one for Christmas. Is it fun?
Oh, it's great fun.
Yeah,
I learned that I'm not very good at racing cows. I let my team down on that one.
And but for folks who don't know, it's a video game.
It's a video game.
Where you like move your body around and that's right. You don't just sit there.
Yep. So that was fun. And we had pie from Chandler's. My wife ordered chocolate mousse pie. We went different, you know, but it was great.
Wow, that is different.
Because we figured we're going to have pumpkin down in Danville.
You'll have all the staples when you go south.
Right. So anyway, we went down to Pennsylvania County. It's right on the Halifax County border where Gene's family farm is. And all the relatives were there. We had more pie once we got there because her brother lives in Lynchburg, and we can depend on him to bring pies from Lynchburg. So that's how I got my pie.
Where they have good pie.
They do. Now, unfortunately, he didn't bring the good pie.
Oh.
He brought pie. It was good. But it wasn't Montana Plains Bakery pie. He realized at the last minute you have to order those in advance at the holiday time.
They get too busy.
So we did not get the Montana Plains Bakery pie, but I'm going to remind Calvin, probably I should remind him next week, to start ordering for Christmas. And then what else did we do? Oh, we had good food from Danville because we got the chicken salad and the oatmeal cookies from Midtown Market.
Is that the cookie you brought here at that time?
Yeah, that oatmeal cream
cookie. That was incredible.
We got those on the way home.
You didn't bring any back with you this time?
I think there's one left in the refrigerator, but
I'm going to eat that when I get home. Yeah.
So that was the food story. We also did drive around the farm. It was a big cleanup day. This was
they put you to work?
Spring cleaning except at Thanksgiving. The farm has not, this farmhouse is very old. Nobody lives there, so it's only when, you know, people are in town at the holidays for us that are visiting it, and it needs a lot of work. You know, the floor is starting to cave in. You know, when the kids are upstairs jumping in the bedroom, you know, you can watch the ceiling move.
Oh, gosh.
But it's pretty solid. You know, the chimney doesn't have any flue in it, you know, so it's just, you know, a stone chimney, the old-fashioned kind.
Yeah, smoky.
So this house needs a lot of work, but mostly what it needed was a good cleanup. So we literally, we took the four-wheelers off the trailers on my brother-in-law's pickup trucks.
Yeah.
And then we filled up their trailers with stuff. And we literally filled up the dumpster in the biggest dumpsters you can imagine. Those big long
with, like, garbage from the house?
Yes.
Wow.
Four television sets, mattresses, furniture.
Just cleaned it all out.
We just cleaned it all out.
Is somebody going to live there?
No, but we just wanted.
It's not like a crack house or something, is it?
No
bums in there or anything.
It's been a hunting lodge. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
So many family members have been visiting and staying there to hunt during hunting season, and people that work the farm, other family members who are growing crops there, they also stay there on occasion.
I got you.
But
now it's time to clean it up, make it a little
nicer. We wanted to make it a little nicer.
Yeah.
Because we're looking down the road and thinking this would be a good place to make a little investment and have a place.
Like a little family timeshare kind of thing.
But right now, we don't have any of the amenities like satellite television. You know, we're not too sure about the water.
Or Wii. You don't have the Wii up and running down there.
We don't have a big flat screen TV or anything. You know, it's just satellite. You know, you just TV aerial signals, which of course are going away in February.
That's true.
So in February there'll be no TV.
There'll be no TV in the air.
There's definitely no internet connection. So this is rustic, but we want to at least make it nice rustic.
Were there any guns involved?
There were guns galore. Correct.
There you go.
We got in the back of my brother-in-law's pickup truck, and Sam, my son, I had to lift the rack of guns up and set it in his lap. I'm like, Sam, I'm sure Uncle James has safetied these weapons, but don't touch them. So I laid like four rifles down in his lap. And, we learned during the trip, I was asking James about hunting because as people listening to the show know, I am not a hunter or a gun owner. But James definitely is. And he's, bringing up his children as hunters, daughters and his son. And Sam was chagrined to learn that his cousin, who's the same age, 12 years old, she already has a shotgun and a rifle and is a regular hunter out on the property.
What's Sam think about that?
Sam's like, Dad, you won't even buy me a BB gun. Sam can have all the Nerf weapons, he wants. But
you got to take him down to the Ravanel Rifle and Pistol Club.
Tell me about that.
I got an email from somebody who heard us talking about guns down there at the Ravanel Rifle and Pistol Club. It's online at rrpc.org. You can check it out right down there down Old Lynchburg Road. And he said, heard you talking about shooting. You should come on down. And I looked at the website. I had no idea you can do anything down there. Inside, outside shooting, skeet shooting. You can shoot at cans. You can shoot at targets. All sorts of stuff.
Okay, that's I think we need to go.
It's fun.
And I'll bring some pie.
It's loud, but it's fun.
I'll bring some pie, but I've never fired a weapon, so I think maybe now's the time.
I fired a 44 one time. And I tell you what, I fired it once, and then I handed it back to the guy I was with. We were out on some farm somewhere in South Carolina, and I said, I'm done. I don't need to fire that one again. It was unbelievable. It really is like a cannon. It's like a little. It's like holding a little cannon in your hand. It was so powerful. Unbelievable.
Well, I definitely want to be in a safe place with people that know what they're doing.
And yeah.
So this sounds like the place.
Well, we're going to get them in here to talk about it, too, see if they can't demystify the gun club for us. And,
excellent.
For folks who are like, what? Because these guys have a good time. And speaking of hunting, Allison's cousin is a big hunter down there in Waynesville, and they go up in the mountains. And he was telling me about bear hunting, which I'm not a hunter, but wow, man, running the dogs after the bears.
Oh, yeah. And they run dogs down at the Milam family farm. In fact, we heard them all night.
Oh,
looking for the deer, I guess. But, you know, the funny thing was all the men in the family, the extended family, you know, they're all wearing camouflage because they're all hunting.
Yeah.
And even the ones helping us clean out the house, you know, they're in full camo. And this is, you know, the Virginia Tech game weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm, of course, wearing blue with Virginia, you know, across my chest. So I'm feeling like a sitting
odd man
duck
out, yeah.
in many ways.
I have to tell you, speaking of Virginia Tech, on the way back and our round trip, the one-way drive to Waynesville is 7 hours when you factor in your Cracker Barrel time, which you got to, you know, you got to stop for Cracker Barrel. We got caught in that Virginia Tech game traffic letting out on the way back.
Huh.
It took us 3.5 hours to get home from Roanoke or from Blacksburg. The game was letting out right as we're going through Blacksburg.
And you hit
7 mile backup. And there was never an accident. We never saw an accident. It was just volume of people coming out of that game. Which, who won that, by the way?
Virginia Tech won that game. It was close. And I was listening to Mike Visseglia. I can't even say his name.
Michael Visseglia?
Yes.
There you go.
That guy. So it was funny driving around Pennsylvania County listening to Mike from WINA.
There you go. I think we have, is this Carl?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Carl, you the man. How you doing?
I'm fine.
And you're with the Rifle and Pistol Club, right?
Yes, I am with Rivanna Rifle and Pistol Club.
There you go. Well, we got to, Brian and I want to come down and shoot some, can we?
You sure can. I just wanted to give you a personal invitation, and I will furnish the firearms and the ammunition.
All right.
You have to show up, and I'll... try to do some instruction on the safe handling of firearms.
That sounds awesome.
All right, Carl, I'll bring pie. That'll be my contribution.
Yeah, we'll bring some pie down with us.
Yeah, well, I was the one who told you to go down to Scottsville and try the pie down there.
Are the Lumpkins lead?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah, Mama Lumpkins.
That worked out rather well.
Love the Lumpkins. Good advice. Thank you, Carl. We'll talk on email. And we'll set up a good time to come down.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Why don't you hold on? I don't want to give this out publicly, but I'll give you my phone number and my email.
Yeah, we'll do that. Hold on just a minute. That's Carl. Hold on. He's on line one. Leon, can you get his information? Leon, can you get his information? Thanks. And that's the Rivanna Rifle and Pistol Club online at rrpc.org. I'm sure there's folks here in town who didn't even know we had a place to go shoot like that.
I've driven by, but I was always a little nervous about driving up that.
It's deluxe. It's a deluxe place. They got all sorts of stuff. And we're going to go down there and have a shooting adventure.
Let's do it.
It'll be a pie shooting adventure.
And we can record it, the audio at least.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah,
that'd be fun.
Yeah, and play it back.
Uh-huh.
We'll fire some different weapons. We'll see how we do. We'll eat some pie. It'll be a good time.
Just never know where the show's going to go, Coy.
Absolutely. Well, that's one of the exciting things about it. We're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour for some local news and get a weather update. When we get back, we'll talk a little growth and development with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn more online at seavilletomorrow.org. You're listening to Charlottesville right now, News Radio 1070 WINA. 38 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia and 38 degrees. This is Charlottesville right now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. Happy Tuesday and happy December to you. Coming up tomorrow on The Little Show, we're going to talk with George Gillum from the Miller Center, find out what they have cooking. We'll also talk with Courtney Stewart of The Hook. She's got a cover story hitting newsstands tomorrow night that we want you to know about. We also want to remind you that the toy lift is on Friday, So make sure you go to kidslift.org, click on Toy Lift. You can get all the information. 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the Fashion Square Mall, the Toy Lift. Make sure you buy a child a toy this year, and you can drop it on by. You don't have to wrap it. You just go pick it up and then drop it by the Toy Lift. We'll be up there broadcasting live on Friday, so make sure you come out and say hello. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He joins us live in studio on Tuesday afternoons. Brian, we had a call during the break, and we want to just clarify something. There will still be television in the air. It's just not going to be an analog signal. It'll be a digital signal. And for folks who still have rabbit ears, you can get a converter box. So all is not lost.
Good to know.
Yeah, because a lot of people out there still in rabbit ears.
Yeah, that's the only way I can get Channel 29 right now.
And you're old enough, as am I, to remember once upon a time when you'd sit there moving your rabbit ears.
I was moving them last night. What are you talking about? Got to get out the aluminum foil?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, we had aluminum foil in all, wherever there's a TV set. My dad had aluminum foil on the rabbit ears all just set up, and it was twisted and curved in just the right way.
Yeah, we must be in some hollow in Ivy. I don't know, because it is hard to pull down Channel 29.
Really?
Yeah. And I just have, you know, the rabbit ears on top of the TV.
Yeah.
We have satellite, too, but if I want to watch...
That's how you get your local.
I don't get local. Yeah, local, I have to use rabbit ears.
Yeah, yeah.
So and I guess I'll have to get one of these boxes now.
Yeah, and you can get your government to give you a coupon for a discount on a converter box, I think.
Oh.
I think there's something like that. I don't know.
Is that the converter box bailout plan?
Yeah. I want a bailout plan. Hey, we were talking about the Ravana Rifle and Pistol Club, which is down Old Lynchburg Road. And speaking of Old Lynchburg Road, that made some news recently.
Yeah,
right?
Let's talk about the other end of Old Lynchburg, the headwaters of Old Lynchburg Road in the city of Charlottesville. I was at City Council last night, and they got an update on improvements being made to Old Lynchburg Road. Actually, these improvements are only on paper at the moment, but there's a community process going on. The neighborhood has been very involved in this. And so this is Old Lynchburg Road from around the Fry Springs Beach Club. Right there is where it starts.
Yeah.
Down to Azalea Park, where you run into Albemarle County. And you can see the interstate bridge.
Where you go under 64 there.
That's right. So that's basically the county line. So this project is focused on the city's portion of Old Lynchburg Road, and they're trying to fix drainage issues, safety for pedestrians with sidewalks and bike lanes, and also just traffic safety in general. Because you know the neighborhood's been very concerned about traffic coming from Albemarle County in particular.
A lot more cars now.
Because there's a lot of student housing and other developments like Biscuit Run, which is coming in the future.
And that'll be like the main into and out of the city for if you're living down in Biscuit Run, should they ever build that neighborhood?
Right now, that would be one of the two main ways you would come in.
Yeah, and the homes on Old Lynchburg Road in there in the city are real close to the street, and it's a real twisty, curvy. They got big old trees right next to the road.
They are. That section where the houses are is pretty straight. I'm looking at an aerial photo right here, and really this project is split into three different sections. The geography changes so much during that stretch that they really can't do the same thing the full length of the road. So in one part of it up near the beach club, they're doing one orientation of sidewalks and whatnot. And up there, I don't think they're going to have a bike lane. And then in parts of it, they will have a bike lane and sidewalks on one side but not the other.
Yeah.
So there's a mix of things going on. But the goal is to, make it safer, to encourage cars to use the speed limit, which is 25 miles per hour, and then make sure that, people that choose to walk or bike are safe.
That's definitely one city street that was not at all, didn't evolve, wasn't created for the cars that it now serves at all.
No way.
It was never meant to be a main huge entry into the or exit into the city.
And that neighborhood has been very vocal. Jean Chase is one of the outspoken residents there. Jean was at the meeting last night. She got up and thanked the city council and their staff for the good work that went into this. And apparently it's been a very positive process with the neighborhood. They've got a lot of good ideas on the table. And one of the interesting things that Mayor Norris noted was that some of the money to pay for this, and this isn't going to happen for several years, but some of the money to pay for this will come from Biscuit Run in the county. And Mayor Norris said, this is one of those unprecedented things where you've got proffers from a neighboring jurisdiction's, development being transferred into another locality. So for every house,
because that's in the county,
right?
But they proffered stuff to the city because they recognized, hey, we're going to put 3,000 homes here, and there's going to be a lot of more cars on Old Lynchburg Road.
So the city and county worked together on that. The final proffers, I pulled them up today, for every dwelling constructed in Biscuit Run, $588.24 will be contributed into this account, which will have a maximum of about $1.5
million. That's going to add up, though.
So $1.5 million will eventually come over to the city to help pay for these improvements.
Sidewalks and bike lanes.
That's right.
And
so that's one example of city-county cooperation. You know, another example along the
same... Can I say real quickly, though, all those cars have to head right over that bridge. They head through Fry Spring and then go out to over that bridge that they're going to...
close. They're going to close that bridge and replace it.
They're going to close down, you know?
Yeah, that'll be a problem. Well, and of course, one of the things the residents down there pointed out was they really wanted a commitment for the Fontaine Avenue Sunset Connector, which doesn't exist right now. So Sunset Avenue is another potential path towards, you know, the Fontaine Avenue Research Park. And right now it dead ends. Right near a lot of student apartment complexes. So there's some student apartments there. If you had this Fontaine Avenue Sunset Connector that went through near the Research Park, that's another way to sort of alleviate the traffic conditions on Old Lynchburg.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn all about this stuff online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. Brian joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth and development.
Yeah, another example I was going to point out of proffers from the county coming into the city is from Albemarle Place. Those proffers, with the help of the General Assembly, who had to weigh in on this, those proffers will come towards improvements on 29, that strip of 29 from Hydraulic Road to Best Buy. And some of that money that eventually will come in from Albemarle Place will contribute to helping that. So those are two examples.
Are we going to see another lane there, you think?
That's the idea. There'll be another travel lane southbound.
Oh, man, do we need that or what?
We need that. And then there'd be two lanes on the on-ramp onto the 250-29
No
bypass.
Kidding.
Yep, so
wow.
There'd be another lane in front of Best Buy, and that lane would sort of then continue and become the Barracks Road exit. So you know how people are always immediately getting on, and then they have to immediately get off, and it causes havoc all the other cars just trying to go straight? And so
that is totally, totally cool.
But we got to pay for that, Coy.
But it's going to be, hopefully people will yield, because that's one of the places in town where people come onto the bypass and often they don't yield, you know?
Yeah.
So you always have to move over to the left and, look out, here they come.
If you're out there right now, let's yield.
Yeah, yielding is good. So one day we will have, you know, when we win the lottery here, we will have an extra lane on between Hydraulic and the bypass and an extra on-ramp lane to get right there in front of Best Buy.
That's the plan.
Sweet.
We need some more money for that, though.
Yeah.
Speaking of plans, got some good news on the passenger rail service. This was the proposal to have daily passenger rail from Lynchburg to Washington, and Meredith Richards has been heavily involved in this, former vice chair of city council, and vice mayor, I guess I should say, and she's been championing that project. And right now, the news is that the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation has included it as a project to be funded for Amtrak to get funding for this. And this would add another option for people who want to travel either to Washington or to come down here, tourist maybe coming to Charlottesville.
And we were just looking online during the break at the Amtrak schedule. This would be a direct line. What exists now is the Crescent, and it stops everywhere at Manassas and Alexandria.
Well, this train would do that too. It would stop in Culpeper and Manassas.
Oh, it would?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So, but the idea behind this, the theory is, this would be a more reliable sort of train that you could count on to be able to get a ticket, one, and two, have it run on a reasonable schedule.
Because oftentimes if you want to get to the Crescent to D.C., you're fighting the through passengers who got on in Miami.
Yes.
And are going to New York.
And I've heard Meredith Richards say it's hard to get a ticket. And from my personal experience, having taken the train once to Danville, it was very unpredictable as far as when I would leave and when I would arrive at my destination.
I've taken that train before, and they'll like put you on a bus and send you to Richmond.
Do you remember when they were talking about putting nuclear weapons on trains and driving around the United States?
Uh-huh.
And I remember the joke at the time was that we should just put the nuclear weapons on Amtrak, and then the Russians could never find them. But anyway.
I like that. Can I use that?
Sure.
Okay.
And then the last bit of transportation news, which I have not seen heavily reported, but is on our website at SeavilleTomorrow.org. David Toscano, a delegate for the 57th District, who represents all of Charlottesville and parts of Albemarle County, is starting the ball rolling on legislation that he expects to submit to the General Assembly for their 2009 session related to Charlottesville and Albemarle forming a regional transit authority.
This is huge news.
And having a referendum, a voter referendum, on a sales tax increase in both the city and the county.
Now give the backstory to that, because that's really big news and should be reported more. Because this could potentially be a big, big thing.
In a nutshell, the city and county want to do more public transit better. So they think they can do that better if from the county's point of view, the county wants to be at the table for governance and decisions about where the routes are and what the priority is on what types and modes of public transit. And right now, they're just a customer of the city of Charlottesville. Charlottesville runs CTS, and the county gives them some money, hoping that routes will be run in certain places. And so the county wants a more involved role in that discussion. They think the best way to do that is join forces, have a regional transit authority take over the operations of CTS. They'll run it jointly and come up with a funding formula as to how to pay for it. But how to pay for it is the big question. So not only how to pay for an expanded public transit system, but how to pay for other transportation projects. The city and county have been saying, to Richmond, the leaders in Richmond, we have road projects that are on the drawing boards for years and years and years, and we can never collect enough money from the state to actually get them done. So they're scratching their heads and saying, hey, we need another funding option, and we're going to try to kill two birds with one stone. If you give us the authority to ask our voters if they want to raise their taxes, and the proposal would be for a sales tax of up to 1 cent. So all the goods and services you buy in Albemarle or the city of Charlottesville, the tax would go from, 5 cents to 6 cents.
And it wouldn't go into some slush fund. It would go directly towards this authority for transportation.
It would be exclusively used for transportation and operating public transit.
Yeah. The hope is that it would put us in a position here in Central Virginia to finally get some things off of the drawing board and build some of these roads that we know we need and are already designed, but we just don't get the money from Richmond to do them.
And anyway, Delegate Toscano has started the drafting process. The way he does that is he calls up Richmond and talks to the legislative services staff and tells them what his idea is, and they start crafting the draft legislation. Those documents will be brought back in December this month to City Council and the Board of Supervisors, for them to see before they actually get submitted, in January by Delegate Toscano.
And that has to be approved by the whole General Assembly.
That's right. And it's two bills. And nobody thinks the bill to create the RTA is going to be problematic. Nobody sees that as very controversial. The bill to create new taxing authority, even if it's couched as a referendum, let the voters decide, there's some question as to whether that is going to get passed in Richmond.
Yeah. Now, the Republicans who control the House of Delegates gave that authority to Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads, but they haven't given that authority, to my knowledge, to any other localities in the state, even though other localities, like us here, we need money, too, to build our roads.
And officials here in Charlottesville and Albemarle think this is a simpler funding solution. And by that, I mean Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads have a menu of very complex different taxes and fees that all, come together to be very meaningful and a lot of money. But the end user doesn't really see how their contribution is helping with transportation.
Yeah.
Here, you would know that everything you buy, basically one penny of that sales tax is going to contribute towards our transportation challenge.
So we'll have a lot more bus routes, a lot more buses, and hopefully have some more roads as well.
That's the idea.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Brian, we have like 3 or 4 minutes left.
Yeah, let me just put in a plug for a couple things. One, we have a very in-depth story on the water supply plan, and I talked about it last week, Coy. I gave you an update on, because I had just come out of the meeting of the four boards. The big meeting of
the
four
summit.
Boards. They got together. There were about 60 people watching these 20 or so decision makers, and I think we've got a pretty good story up. It's long, but I think this subject demands an in-depth focus, and we put a lot of work into that. So I'd encourage you to take a look at the SeavilleTomorrow.org news center and read up on that story. The other thing I would just put in a plug for is next week there's going to be an interesting meeting of what's called the Alliance of Neighborhoods. This is a new organization trying to get off the ground and bring together neighborhoods in the city and the county to advance some common goals. And I think that's quite interesting. There have been efforts by both localities to talk about these things and have different neighborhood meetings. But I'm not aware of a past effort to really, at least recently, to bring together the city and county neighborhoods. So there's going to be a meeting on Tuesday the 9th at 6 o'clock, and that's going to be in the Albemarle County office building in room 246.
And that's a first of its kind for our area.
It may have been tried in the past. I know some people that have been observing this for a while could probably point to some other past effort. I know in the county there was a Albemarle Neighborhood Alliance for a while that actually Tom Loach was involved with.
Oh, okay.
Tom is now a planning commissioner in the county. And
so this is sort of like a city-county neighborhoods, like a pan association, like bringing them together.
Exactly.
So that they're not balkanized anymore.
That's right.
And politically, that's very smart.
They want to, and I'm reading from their announcement here, support existing neighborhood associations, help form new ones for those neighborhoods that don't have them, you know, give them some guidance as to what's the best way to go about doing that, probably figure out things like, you know, the homeowner covenants and restrictions and all that stuff. They want to bridge the, quote, city-county divide so residents can speak with a single voice, and they want to have an independent forum to air and advance regional issues.
And that meeting is at the Albemarle County office building on the 9th?
Next Tuesday the 9th at 6 o'clock.
And if you live in a neighborhood, you're welcome.
Absolutely.
There you go. Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. Next week we'll talk about this water supply stuff.
I'm always ready.
Our new Meadow Creek Parkway.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.